Make me know your presence, Lord, the King of glory here. You know each thought and action, hope, anxiety, and fear. How can I hide from thee? Can darkness hide iniquity? Oh, how can I unfaithful be when you are very near to me? When God is near, all the world seems far away. When God is near, every fear is set aside. When God is near, how can I stray? How can I falter? I'll stay upon the altar. I know my God is near.
Make me know your presence, Lord, when I feel so alone. You know each trial and testing pain, the hurt that is unknown.
Oh, why can I not see your hand so firmly guiding me? Oh, how can I untrusting be when you are very near to me? When God is near, all the world seems far away. When God is near, every fear is set aside. When God is near, how can I stray? How can I falter? I'll stay upon the altar. I know my God is near. When God is near, all the world seems far away. When God is near, every fear is set aside. When God is near, how can I stray? How can I falter? I'll stay upon the altar. I know my God is near.
All right. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's open them up to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. And as you're standing there, I want to say how much I appreciate the opportunity to come and preach this morning. Don't take it lightly at all. And but I do have a little confession to make. I finally out-talked my wife in a car. We normally, a trip for us, any amount of distance on the road, it involves her talking and me just kind of, I can handle the conversation for about 20 miles. And my eyes glass over and I go into husband autopilot. You know what I'm talking about. On the way back, Pastor had asked me to preach on Tuesday, and the Lord gave me this text, and as more I studied it, the more it just opened up, and more things I saw, and more things I decided to put in the message. So I'm going to break a rule of homiletics. So if you see my homiletics professor, either one of them, don't tell them. But anyway, so she asked me, she made the mistake. She goes, honey, what are you going to preach on? So I told her, all of it, from Bolivar to Cornelia, like 70 miles. And she goes, that took me 20 years, man, to do that. And I mean, be proud of something. Be proud of that. Matthew chapter 9 this morning, verse number 1, Bible says this. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, and unto the sick of the palsy said, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes within themselves, or said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But they that may know that the Son of God, or Son of Man, hath power on earth to forgive sins, then say he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, and which had such a power on the men. And as Jesus passed from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me, and he rose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, saith unto them, That they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am come to call the righteous, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came him to the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a new piece of cloth on an old garment, for that which is put in to fill up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, the woman came, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. And Jesus turned about, but Jesus turned him about. And when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, saw the minstrels and the people making noise. And he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went about into all the land. I like this part. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into this house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it up unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man knoweth it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame into all the country. Verse 32. And when they went out, behold, they brought unto him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. This morning, with the Lord's help, we're going to be preaching on this subject. What a difference Jesus can make. What a difference Jesus can make. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you just bless the preaching of your word this morning. Pray if there's anyone here lost without Christ, that you would convict their hearts this morning and show them their need of a Savior. Father, I understand the gravity of the situation, that lives are in balance this morning and hearts and homes. There's people here that need to make a decision this morning about what they're going to do. In light of your word, I pray, the Lord, that you would just convict hearts this morning. Father, we do love you. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'm sure many of you, if not all of us, at one time couldn't sleep or have woke up early only not to be able to go back to sleep. And you turn on the television, try not to wake your spouse in fear of you getting yelled at. And by the way, at 2 in the morning, there's nothing on. We know this. Infomercials plague our airways. And if you're like me, sometimes you have spells where you just don't sleep and an infomercial will come on and you hear this faint promise. This product is guaranteed to make your life better or your money back. It's guaranteed for 5 low payments of $39.95 or your first child, whichever may come first. These products are promised to change our lives and to make a great difference in our average everyday life. And only to come to find out that when you're walking through Walmart and you go by that as seen on TV aisle, they have gone through all the prospective buyers and now they are just rubbish in the dollar bin at your local department store. Only to not make a difference. I want to throw this at you this morning and propose this, that Jesus Christ can make a difference in your life. Amen. A lasting effect on your life this morning. There is no situation, no circumstances, no problem that Jesus cannot work out in your life. I want to look at this morning how Lord Jesus Christ impacted and made a difference in the lives of 8 people in a day. I'll be honest with you, I've had busy days before. Many of us have had busy days. I had a day this week where I got called off of one job 5 times. I couldn't get in there and get my particular task done. I was trying to change out a light socket. I would no sooner walk in, grab my screwdriver, the phone would ring. I'd have to go over and take care of something else. I'd get back, pick up the screwdriver again, get ready to go in and change the light socket. I may get 2 turns on the screw, phone would ring. Kirby, I need you to go do this. Drop my stuff, get my van, drive off. It was like that all day. And I got to thinking about what the Lord Jesus Christ was going through that day, particular day. He'd been out preaching in the Decapolis. Matter of fact, our text comes right on the heels of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has just finished up that sermon, and he was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee in the town of Gadara the night before, and he had dealt with a man who we know in Scripture as Legion. He had 10,000 demons that had possessed him, and Jesus went and cast out all those devils into the swine, and they ran down the hill and choked themselves out in the sea. Now we see the Lord Jesus Christ has crossed the Sea of Galilee again, and now he's in Capernaum, in his own city. By the way, Capernaum was a base of operations there for his ministry there in Galilee. And he's in the home, what we can kind of extrapolate from the Scriptures as Peter's home possibly, and he's preaching, I believe it was in the morning, and he is just having a service there in the home, and everyone most likely in town is gathered around and packed into the house, and it's very crowded. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Mark 2 that no one could even get into the house for the press of people. There was a crowd that day, kind of like today. I'm sure the Lord wasn't nearly as nervous as I was, or I am today, because of all you people, but I'm glad you're here, or else I'd be by myself. And so the house was full. And along comes 4 men and a paralytic. And the 4 men want to get the paralyzed man here to Lord Jesus Christ so he can do something with his condition. And I want to say this, that this was the man in Mark 2 that was carried to the 4, and they couldn't get to the house, so they climbed up on the house, cut a hole in the roof while the Lord was preaching. I'm not sure about you, but my imagination goes into overload sometimes when I read the Scriptures. And I can just picture this because I like to read life into the book, because the book is alive and it was real life when it happened. So I can just imagine the Lord's in maybe his first point, maybe getting his illustration out and just getting settled into the message, and all of a sudden rubble starts to fall down around him. That's a distraction. They probably didn't cover that in homiletics. And so he looks, I can just picture him looking up, and then he sees 4 heads and then ropes and then a bed. And they drop this guy. There's humor in this. Come on, lighten up. Think about this. So here's this guy laying there, and the Lord looks at him and he says, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." He told a paralyzed man of the palsy. You understand that when a man had the palsy in the Old Testament or in the biblical times, he was unable to move in and of himself. More than likely, this man was a quadriplegic. He couldn't move his extremities. He was carried around by his friends. He was taken to the marketplace in order that he could beg money so he could have food for that night. He was totally operating on people's mercy and good graces. He couldn't earn a living for himself. He couldn't even carry himself where he needed to go. He needed assistance all the time. But here he is. This day is going to change a little bit. His friends cut a hole and dropped him down. And the Lord Jesus Christ looks at him in this hopeless condition and he says, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." I want to propose to you this morning that if you're lost today in sins, your sins have literally paralyzed you and you're unable to come to the Savior in and of yourselves. Matter of fact, the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, verse 22, flip over there if you will, put your marker here, we're going to be back. And if you don't have a marker, rip a map out of the back. You know you don't look at them anyway. Stick it in Matthew 9. We're going to be back in just directly. Proverbs chapter 5. Don't do that, really. I had a girl in Eldon do that, and her mama yelled at me for a month. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22. It says this, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and shall be holden with the cords of his sins. And he shall die without instructions, and the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray." You know, your sin will grip you and utterly spend you and leaving you with no hope. We've heard this said over and over again, but it's true today as it was when it was first said. Your sin will take you much further than you ever desired to go and keep you much longer than you ever intended to stay. Amen. There is no relief of your sin in and of yourself. You are bound in your iniquities. You're tied. You're cuffed. When I was a security guard here on base, we had some handcuff training, which was kind of neat. But I noticed some funny things about handcuffs. You know, once they lock, you can't unlock them very easily. You can't get out of them, especially when they're double locked. You're locked until somebody lets you out, Brother Chad. You're stuck. And people were learning that playing with their handcuffs. Did you do that? We're not going to talk about that. Same thing with your sin. You start playing with it, it's going to lock you up and it's going to hold you down. And you can't get away from it until you're brought to the Savior. There's only one person that's going to get you out of your sin and let you go. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would love to have seen that day. That poor man probably hadn't walked in years, if he ever walked at all. And he said, "Arise. Get up." This wasn't a Pentecostal thing, all right? There wasn't no healing line. There wasn't nobody smacked nobody on the forehead. He just said, "Get up." And you know what that guy did? Hopped right up. And he started praising God. He was paralyzed a second ago. He had been let down into the house. What a difference Jesus can make in somebody's life.
Right.
Now, let's fast forward a little bit. That was in the morning. He's out now. He had dealt with the Pharisees a little bit. And now he's talking to the disciples of John about fasting with the Pharisees and his disciples. And we're not going to get off into that. But I want you to picture this. Here he's in the middle of a theological discussion. Anybody ever been there before and somebody just interrupts? Here comes this father, a ruler of the synagogue, according to verse 17. His daughter is dying. She's almost dead. You know, a lot of times when we read the Bible, we read it in a sterile kind of sense. We just read it, right? Oh, a ruler of the synagogue come and his daughter's dead. Put some emotion in there. How would you act if your little girl of 12 years old was dying? That little girl a few months ago probably was in pigtails playing in the living room, telling you on your lap how much she loves you and how strong you are as a daddy. And you're looking at this little girl in the face and now she's dying of some sort of disease that you don't have any idea how to fix. You don't know of anybody in the area who can treat this little girl. All you know is she's sick and she's dying. We don't know what was going on. You can just kind of use your imagination. More than likely, she's running a high fever. She may be sick to her stomach and nausea. And you can just see that she is passing out of this life. And you go with haste to the only one you know who can do something about it. Because you've heard what Jesus can do. And you make a beeline for him. And you break right in the middle of a crowd of Pharisees and disciples of John the Baptist. And you walk straight up to the Savior. And you look him in the eye and you said, "Lord, I got a problem. My little girl's sick unto death. and I need you to come and to help her. First thing he did was worship before he said anything. This man's got a problem. Jesus gathers up his disciples. He starts heading that way. I don't know about you, but I'm sure that daddy was moving quick, cutting through the crowd. Anybody ever try to move through a big crowd when there's a lot of people there? It's hard to move for the crowd, isn't it? And you've got yourself, Jesus, and 12 other guys in tow. Try to keep up. He's heading to his house. He's moving with purpose and urgency. Think about the desperation and the fear of this man. I want you to understand this morning, that our sin affects other people. This little girl was dying, but it was affecting her daddy. You're not in this alone. You're not an island unto yourself. Young teen, you may be a little bit rebellious. You are affecting your family. Hey, husband, what you're doing is affecting your wife and children. You're not in it by yourself. Church member, got a nasty attitude, you're affecting the rest of us. Your sin has to be dealt with. This man had to deal with his little girl's problem. So here he is, he's making his way to the Savior, and they're on the way to the house. I honestly believe in my heart that this man is scared out of his mind. His only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only person that could help. Can I say this? You can't handle your sin on your own. You can't do good things. As we're going to see here in a minute. On their way, look here in verse 17. Back in our text. I'm sorry, say again. Verse 20. Now, I want you to picture this. They are on the way to see this little girl. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Hold on a sec. So the interrupter was interrupted. They're on the way to the house so Jesus can see the dying girl, who, by the way, dies in the time it takes her daddy to get to the Savior and get him to get the Savior to her. He's in this crowd. The people are thronging him according to Mark 2. It is so crowded you can't even tell who's touching you, who's not touching you. And all of a sudden, the Scriptures turns its attention to this little woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, we're not quite sure what her medical condition was, but many believe that she hemorrhaged. She had a bleeding type of disease, something you didn't want in that time. And the Bible says that she spent all she had and suffered much at the hands of the physicians. Can I say this? Doctors are as expensive then as they are today. I hate going to the doctor. I don't really care for my doctor all that much because every time I go in, they want to poke me with something sharp and put something cold in my skin, and it hurts, and I don't like them. I don't like going and paying copays. I don't like taking medicine. I just want to go. I want to go and get to feeling better and get on my way. I just don't like doctors. I'm sure this woman didn't care for doctors much either, because she said that she suffered. She was at the very end. She'd done everything she could to get healing. Can I say this? Try as you can, but you can never get rid of your sin in and of yourself. The book of Isaiah says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You can try to do good, be good, act good, think good, but you still have a sinful nature that needs to be dealt with. You've got something and ought with God, your sin, and you need to do something. Matter of fact, you can try all you want to live a good life, but you are marked. Look at Jeremiah, if you will. Book of Jeremiah. Chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2 this morning. Maybe I shouldn't have talked so much to my wife. I'd have a voice today. Jeremiah 2. verse 22, the Bible says this, "For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before thee, saith the Lord." You just can't get rid of it. You can scrub all day long with lava soap and kerosene, but it's stuck. And you've got to answer for it. This little woman has tried everything. She's gone to this doctor and to that doctor. She's tried home remedies. She's gone to WebMD. She's tried everything she can to get rid of this stuff. And nothing is happening. Now, she understands that Jesus is coming her way. And she thinks within herself, all I've got to do is touch the hem of His garment. She tries to press through the crowd. This woman is working to get at Him. She's weaving through, pushing people out of the way. And Jesus passes by. He's already in front of her. She's behind her, and she reaches down and touches the hem of His garment. Now, hem of a garment was what we know through customs is a big, broad border on a garment of a man. About that big, may have some tassels on the bottom of it, some ornate knots and things like that. And that's what she touches, just the edge of it. And I like what the Lord does here. He stops. Whoop! And He turns around and looks at His disciples, and He's like, "Who touched me?" That's the question you don't want on the security detail. Who did this? And I picture this again with the disciples, especially Peter, looking at the Lord. Look at all these people, and you ask, "Who touched you?" Pick one. Who touched you? Who touched me? And then you see the woman kind of stepping back. Okay, turn on your imagination for a little bit. Come on, it's Sunday morning, you can do it. All of a sudden, the crowd splits. And here's that little woman standing there, terror-stricken, looking at the Savior. I did. "Woman, thy faith has made thee whole." And you know what the Bible says? Straightway, the fountain was dried up. You want some plain English terms? She got all better real quick. What a difference Jesus can make. Amen. You know, when you go to the Savior and you ask for forgiveness, your sins are gone. There's no waiting period. There's no got to work it out period. No penance, nothing like that. You just go and you ask for forgiveness, you repent, and they put it on. Jesus puts it under the blood, gone. "Thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more." What a difference Jesus can make. So that little woman's there. She's standing there. And then they begin to move out towards the home of Jairus. They walk right into Jairus' house. And there's a great noise there. Matter of fact, the text tells us that the musicians and there's some other folks there making a great noise. Now, if you read that, you might just think, oh, well, they were sad. In that culture, when somebody would get ready to pass away, they would hire professional mourners. Weird, I know. I'm already sad enough. I don't need help. You know, I remember when my grandma passed away, I was pretty broke up about it. We didn't need to hire anybody to help me get sad. That was just built in. But in that culture, the more lament that was made, the more prominent the person would be perceived as. So here's this little girl. She's dead. And Jesus walks in, and they tell her she's dead. Not sure about you, but that situation, there's no hope, is there? Physically speaking, humanly speaking, that girl's dead, she's gone. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You can't come to the Savior in and of yourself. There's no hope for you by yourself. But I like what Jesus does. I love Him at funerals. I want to see this firsthand when I get to heaven. I just want to replay. Can you imagine Him walking in there and touching that girl and said, "Okay, hon, time to get up now. Pigtails and all, let's go." And she sits up and walks in there. Now, we don't know what she says, but I'm sure she was looking for her daddy. Can you imagine that scene? Her walking in and getting on the lap of her father after she, minutes later, was dead and cold. What a difference Jesus can make. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. You're lost here this morning, like we said. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2. Bible says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You were quickened. Let me tell you what, if you're lost here this morning, you have the opportunity today to be made alive. That word quickened means to be made lively. That girl wasn't moving. Now she is. Now she's asking for her dad. Now she's walking around the house, and the people who laugh Jesus to scorn are standing there with their mouths open. What a difference Jesus can make. You know, a lost person, you're dead and your trespasses and sin, but when you're saved, you become alive and things begin to change. He makes a difference in your life. The things you once did, you no longer desire to do. The person you was is dead, and now you are alive unto God, and you are changed because you put off the old man and put on the new man in Christ, and then you walk in the newness of life. You are not the same. Next month, I will be celebrating 17 years of salvation. I was saved on the 17th of June in 1999. My wife read to me the testimony of a man who pastored in, where was that? Sykeston, Missouri. I got under conviction one night. I was a lost church member. Had no idea what salvation was about. And then she began to read and I got under conviction. I repented of my sins and I was saved. Let me tell you what, things changed that day. The next day I got to work. Oh, I worked at a furniture factory in Poplar Bluff. We made couches and stuff, and there was long cutting tables. And there was a guy down there, I was lost church member trying to get him to come to church for years. And I saw him down at the end of the cutting table. I flat-footed that table. It was about that tall. I just jumped on it. Boom! Ran down that thing. Wham! And I'm sitting there and I grabbed Jim by the shirt, jerked him up, and I was like, guess what? I don't know. It's like, I got saved last night. Let me tell you how it happened. And I wouldn't turn him loose. I'm like, I'm just telling him. I'm like, I got in a conviction last night. My wife read me a testimony of a guy by the name of Steve, and he's over in East Prairie, and I got saved last night. I repented of my sins, and I got saved last night. Things are different. He goes, I believe you. Started telling him what happened, how I lived a life that was not what I was portraying. My life changed. What a difference Jesus made in my life. Hopped down, went to the next table. Just worked my day down in the cutting department. Jesus can make a difference in your life. So I just don't know, Brother Kirby. What else do I got to prove to you? We just seen a dead girl get up. We've seen a woman with the issue of blood dried up. We've seen a paralytic getting up and walking out of a church service after it was over. Maybe you need a little bit more. On the way out of Jairus' house, two blind guys come up behind the Lord and start to cry out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And by the way, that is a term of the messianic title of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're like, Lord, help us. And he turns around and he asks them a question. You believe I can do this? You want to know what the Greek is? Yes! Yes, I believe you can do it! They could see immediately. You understand that when you're lost, you are spiritually blind and you can't see? You can't see the truth! You need some sight! You need to go to the one who can give you some sight! These men were hopeless. They could not see it of themselves. They were groping around in the dark, searching for something. Searching for anything that would give them relief. You understand when you're lost, you are without Christ and you are groping in the dark, hoping for something. Until you find the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that part. Brother Hubbard, do you believe I can do this? yeah. And then immediately they saw. Immediately. Do you understand that when you come to Christ and repentance, you are immediately saved? There ain't no waiting period. You don't got to do penance. You don't got to go talk to a priest in a phone booth. You are saved. And things begin to happen and different because you are born again unto Christ. Your heart changes from the inside out. That man that you were isn't there no more, and you are a new man. Telling you what, Jesus can make a difference in your life, because I want to tell you this, you've tried to live your life on your own and only to be fumbling around in the dark, and you don't understand and you don't realize that only God knows how to make life work. It's only Him and Him alone. You are utterly blind and fumbling around, and you wonder why you go through life hurting yourself. I'll help you. You just can't see. I was on call about a month ago, had a flooded basement, about a year ago, I take it back, about a year ago. And I work out here on base, and we got some houses that really richly deserve to be blowed up and dozed over. I hate them, especially when it rains. If I say Ridgeview, some of you know, you'll go, oh yeah, that house, Ridgeview. I'm going down the steps. There's water at the bottom of the steps, a lot of water. Now, the flooded basement, you all are thinking, oh, 3 inches. No, water in the basement. I get down there, there's computer monitors floating in the basement. It's dark. Why? Because the power went out because the water got in the outlets. It was so deep. I get down there, and I slip and fall and trip on my boot because it's dark. Boom, 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 splash. Not sure if you realize, but water in waders at 2 a.m. is not fun. How'd you do that? It was dark and I couldn't see. We went over this. What do you think happens to you? You can't see and you fall. You need sight. You need somebody to make a difference in your life. You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life.
That's right.
Lastly, the last man, the eighth person, the fifth miracle of the day. He just gets done talking to the two blind guys. I love this. Okay, where's my notes? Okay, whew, blue light violas. Okay, they bring this guy possessed of a devil. Now, we don't know a lot about the details with this man. We just know he's got a devil, and he's dumb. What do you mean? Okay, he doesn't have a low SAT score. He can't speak. That's what it means to be dumb in the scriptures. He does not possess the ability to articulate and to communicate. He cannot speak in and of himself. Picture this. You're going through life. You are possessed with a devil. You have cognizant abilities. You understand what's going on, but you're out of control and you can't tell anybody about it. You're in a sad state. You can't help yourself. You're stuck. Again, the book of Ephesians just kind of rings true with the lost person, doesn't it? You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You couldn't do anything else but to be sinful. If you're stuck in that spot today, I'm telling you, the man who helped this dumb man here, this man possessed of a devil, can help you today and make a great difference in your life. We don't know how Jesus did it. We don't know what He said. All we know is that He did. Can you imagine the look on the faces around that man? Because the Bible says they marveled in so much that all of Israel, because no one had ever done this, paraphrasing that, can you imagine the looks on the crowd's faces? So we can understand that it was a pretty bad situation. Previously in the scriptures, if you read and do a little bit of study, you see that people will throw themselves in a fire, throw themselves in bodies of water. The devil that has possessed a particular person will try to kill them at best and destroy them. That's, by the way, your sin destroys everything it touches. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, friend. It will eat you alive. And I love what Jesus does. He just casts that old devil out, and that man begins to talk. I'm sure he's got a lot to say today. What a difference he made in his life. Unable to communicate, unable to talk, and now he's able to, all because Jesus Christ touched him. I want to tell you this morning, that Jesus can make a difference in your life. All you got to do is allow him to, and listen to what the Word of God has to say. Can I ask you one more time to use your imagination? We've seen Jesus a pretty busy day, huh? Think about the day after. Here comes the paralytic man walking in the walking in the market, and he walks by the two blind guys. Blind guys go, "Hey, it's good to see you. How are you doing today?" "Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Thought I'd go out for a walk this morning." Here comes the little woman with the issue of blood. "Hey, guys, what's going on?" "Well, ma'am, how are you today?" "I'm feeling really, really good. I haven't felt this good in years. Man, it's so good to see you." And the blind guy looks at her and says, "Man, that is a great looking dress. Oh, that is so beautiful." And the paralytic goes, "Here, let me touch that. Let me feel. Man, is that silk? Did you get that from Antioch? That looks nice." And then here comes the little girl running through the market and bumps into him. "Oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry, but I just came alive yesterday afternoon. I just can't help it." And then here comes the dumb man. "I couldn't help but to overhear you, and I just got to tell you what Jesus did for me yesterday." What a difference Jesus can make in somebody's life. All you got to do is let him. I want you to understand this morning. This salvation is open to everybody. Revelation chapter 22, if you will. Flip over there, if you will. Revelation 22. Verse 17. The Bible says this, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of the book, that if any man shall add unto these things, shall God add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. Anyone, whosoever will, may come and drink of the water of life freely." It is open and available to everyone. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you know what I like about this account in Matthew chapter 9? Your situation is not so unique and not so horrible and not so bad that Christ cannot work
in it.
Right. So how about it today? Are you here and you're lost? Maybe you need to come and let Jesus make a difference in your life. Maybe you're here today and you're saved, but you got some sin in your life and you've tried everything. Maybe you need to come to the one who can make a difference in your life. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one look.